Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Getting to know people for the first time can be a tricky business because human beings can be pretty judgmental. Maybe it's some more than others, but we all probably have a few disqualifying issues, observable traits or bad habits that we don't want anyone else to see us do for fear of what they might think of us, or maybe when we see it in another person, just one thing can send them down the ladder in our estimation. For example, when I eat French fries, I eat them the right way. I make a little well of ketchup, and I dip my French fries in the well of ketchup, which is the right way to do it, and I just don't know about people who squirt ketchup all over their French fries. It's disgusting. Likewise, my grandmother didn't think much of people who used anything other than Duke's mayonnaise. She couldn't understand why anyone else even would buy it. But there's more. Dental hygiene, hairstyle, names that we find difficult to pronounce or spell. We notice things and we make judgments about people based on them, though they are superficial. Additionally, we look ourselves in the mirror and we make disqualifying judgments about ourselves. One thing that our two scripture lessons for this morning have in common is that they both point out how our assumptions can lead us to miss out even on our God's invitation to new life. Let me tell you what I mean. A friend of mine went to school in New York State. His roommate asked him where he was from, and my friend Will said Tennessee, and this new roommate asked Will if he owned a pair of shoes. Now, that's a small thing, but it happens all the time. We think we know too much about a person based on where they come from. So the North looks down their nose a little bit at the South, but the South's not innocent, for I have been making jokes about people from Alabama my entire life. And as long as Snuffy Smith runs in our local paper, we know that there are some people it's still socially acceptable to make fun of. Only what can you really tell about a person based on where he comes from? We can all get stuck in assumptions and start thinking that nothing good can come out of certain places or from certain kinds of people. And so we say things like, Nazareth, Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Is this not the most incredible question you've ever heard? It sums up all the assumptions and proves them all wrong in one fell swoop. Yes, in fact, the most good the world has ever seen comes out of Nazareth, so there. But what do we do with that? Well, I've heard some people call the desecration of our nation's capital the Duck Dynasty Revolution. But putting down a group of people because of how they look or how they feel is not going to help us put this nation back together. What's become clear to me amidst all that broken glass is that we have now seen a very tangible sign of our nation's bitter division. And regardless of which side you are standing on now, do not forget to love the person who stands on the other side. Why? Because Jesus always shows up where we least expect him to. And if we're not ready to be surprised, we may miss out on him altogether. What's true about humankind is that when we are sure we are right, we're likely wrong. When we think we know, we're announcing our ignorance. When we are completely certain, we leave no room for faith. Therefore, the posture of Christians must be one of persistent humility. Why? Because we must be prepared for God to defy our expectations. What did Nathanael expect? Can anything good come out of Nazareth is what he asked. Well, Nathanael, with that attitude, can anything good come out of you? That was Samuel's struggle. Samuel did not expect anything good to come out of him. He certainly did not expect to be called by God. He just assumed it was old Eli calling. Why would he think that? Well, do you think he saw himself as someone who God might need to do the next big thing? Had he not taken in all the messages of our judgmental world? So often, those who sleep on the ground as Samuel did on the floor of the temple never expect to rise above it. Having been left there by his mother, he may have come to see himself like so much else that we leave behind and never think about. Again, you surely know his story well enough. It is a story like so many others. It's like Harry Potter, who can't believe that he's a wizard. It's like James, who climbs into a giant peach. There are so many adventures which must begin with a child of God first believing that something wonderful could ever happen to the likes of him. We all must be ready for this kind of surprise, or we might miss it. And Samuel nearly did. Samuel, Samuel, the Lord called. But the audacity here is that no one important ever called this boy by his name. No one called him. Not for dinner, but to clean up after dinner. No one called him because they wanted to see him, but because they wanted something done. Hardly anyone even took the time to know his name. Do you know what that's like? I don't know my garbage man's name, but God does. Who is calling this boy? He can't imagine because it's just too much, and that's the point. How will those who have been pushed around by society ever believe that God would call them by name? Should the garbage man start to think that he's garbage because the world treats him that way, God will surely break into his life to show him the truth. Only he must have enough hope to imagine he is worthy. Samuel, Samuel, the Lord called. He almost missed it for doubting. Certain that nothing like this could happen to someone like him. Don't be so certain. Like Nathaniel, we ask, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And will we be so defined by the events of this week and the one before that we give up on ourselves? Will we stop holding close the virtues which our nation was founded on? Will we be so shaken by this nightmare that we give up on the dream? Will we be convinced by the evidence before us that we are broken, divided, out of luck, and up a creek? Or will we listen now to this call from God? You're looking in all the wrong places and you're listening to all the wrong voices. Listen to me as I call on you to be fully who you were created to be. Let us not be so narrow-minded as to judge ourselves based on what's broken. Let us never be so foolish as to think that the only power at work in our world is humanity's vast capacity for evil. Our eyes have been opened to a level of fragility and depravity. We are pushing closer to the edge of incivility. And to make matters worse, this week, I had homework to do. That's a small thing to mention, but I mention it for this reason. I'm working on my doctorate, and my professor has had me reading about the lives of black women like Ella Baker and Fannie Lou Hamer, who called this nation to her highest ideals, having never experienced much other than oppression, discrimination, and hunger. Fannie Lou Hamer was a sharecropper in Mississippi. She worked most of her life in the fields, then went home to rest in a shack without enough coal for the fire, enough clothes for the children, enough food for the table. Yet she preached and preached about a freedom that she'd never seen herself, but somehow knew was within reach. The Lord called out to Samuel, and do you know what the Lord did for him? Made him the great prophet who would bring order to a kingdom in chaos. I can imagine the boy hearing all this on that cold temple floor and wanting to say, that sounds fine, but I'd really just like a blanket and a warm meal. What about a new tunic? The Lord provided him more than he ever could have dreamed of. And this is the requirement. He never would have done it had he been sure that he was unworthy. No one ever gets anywhere if they give up on themselves. And we we'll never get beyond this point that we find ourselves in now if we stop believing that we can have a more perfect union, a city on a hill, the land of the free and the home of the brave, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I tell you, more good than this world has ever seen before. Can anything good come out of Washington? Can anything good come out of me? We cannot allow one of the worst days of our nation's history to determine our nation's future any more than we can allow one of our worst mistakes to determine our salvation. Only by the grace of God go I. Only by the power of God did I walk into today with confidence. Only because of His magnificence can this ordinary me stand in this pulpit. It is only because of forgiveness, grace, love, hope, and faith that we are here today. Listen to the call of God, my friends, and together let us find out what will happen next. I am ready to follow this Jesus who saw me under the fig tree and called me by name. I believe that He loved me, and I believe He loves you, and I am absolutely convinced that He has not had it with this world that we are living in. In fact, I believe that He holds this world in His hands. Hallelujah. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.